Well, tonight, Mind Control, our very special guest, backed by popular demand, Stuart Swerdlow on Coast to Coast AM. A gifted medical intuitive, Stuart Swerdlow is a clairvoyant who has the ability to see auric fields and personal archetypes, as well as read DNA sequences and mind patterns. His great uncle, Yakov, was the first president of the Soviet Union, and his grandfather helped form, the Communist Party here in the United States in the 1930s. Don't hold that against Stuart, because as a matter of fact, in order to ensure his loyalties, that they stayed here with the U.S. government, he was recruited for specific government mind control experiments, which enhanced his natural abilities. He spent years in service to various U.S. and foreign government agencies and special interest groups, and his mind and body were used for genetic and mind control experiments, which led to severe illness, broken relationships, premature kundalini activation, and after several years of deep self-analysis, he is now with us, fighting his way back, Stuart Swerdlow. Hey, Stuart, how are you?
Fine, thank you for having me back.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. Well, you've been working away since you were last on.
Well, I sure have, and in fact, just a couple of days ago, we released my new book, 13 Cubed, which is a case study in mind control.
Good for you. We're going to talk a lot about that. Tell me about this government approach to you. Did they not trust you because of, I don't want to say the sins of your grandfather, but I mean, he did form the Communist Party, so how did that affect you?
Well, my whole family, anyone related to my father in that lineage, was kind of suspect by the government, especially during the Nixon administration when the Cold War was at its height. And in fact, we were monitored very carefully. The mail was open. Phone calls were tapped. And of course, that led me into, unfortunately, what became the Montauk Project from 1970 to 1983, which was about mind control programming, genetic manipulation, and other various electromagnetic experiments.
Okay, Swerdlow, let's talk a little bit more about your specific background, beyond just what I read.
Well, during that time, 1970 to 1983, I was used at the Montauk Project, which was located at the very east end of Long Island, where there is a lighthouse built by George Washington back in 1799. And during that time, a vast underground base was built, especially enhanced and widened subsequently before World War II and during World War II. And it was really, I have to go back to the Roswell incident back in 1947, which I talked about last time I was on your show.
Right.
And that was really a staged event in order to let the public know that there was indeed an alien presence on the Earth. And in order to gain control of a vast amount of people, billions of people being controlled by just a few hundred thousand people, the very best way to do that is through mind control and programming, because weapons and armies really aren't enough against such a large population.
Mind control, whenever I hear that, I think a Manchurian candidate, don't you?
Well, yeah, of course. And that movie, again, was about letting the public know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
And even recently, with movies like The Bourne Supremacy, they're letting people know what's going on out there with the mind control and programming.
Moving along to 13 Cubed, the case studies in mind control and programming, tell me about the research that went into it first.
That was very, very extensive, and, you know, I've spent years and years working on myself, and then in my work, when I, as a medical intuitive, and I would look at a person's energy field, and I would see implants in the body, I would see that there were mind patterns that were artificial, not really natural to that particular person, and as we would work with that person, I developed techniques that would help the person deprogram from these thoughts that were artificially overlaid in their brainwaves.
Why do we hear stories, Stuart, of, for example, Sirhan, people saying, no, it was mind control. He doesn't know that he did what he did. Maybe he didn't even do what he did. That's what they say. Why does that keep coming up?
Sirhan was a very famous case in mind control. In fact, he even discussed to the authorities how he was programmed to stare into a mirror and look into the reflection of his own eyes, and then the programming and voices would come into his head and tell him instructions of what he was supposed to be doing.
Who programmed him?
Well, all of the programming, and I know that some of this information is contrary to what a lot of your listeners have learned and believed over the years. But it's really the New World Order or the One World Government, Illuminati, whomever you wish to call them, they are the ones that program the Earth and the people on it. And yes, it does have to do with alien technology. However, it is the actual government itself that has programmed these people for decades now.
Now, when you say programmed, is it truly programming like we think of computer programming, or is it hypnotism?
Well, that's a big difference because I have to go back to World War II because it was really the Nazi scientists in the concentration camps that did the preliminary research in modern times about how to fracture a person's personality in order to make subpersonalities that can be altered or arranged in a way where functions can be embedded in the mind pattern to be fulfilled. And they discovered that the most you can fracture a person, a personality, it becomes a figure or a cube in the mind that's 13 by 13 by 13, hence the name 13 cubed, which means there's 2,197 possible compartments or alters within a single personality that can be programmed into subpersonalities or partial personalities, and each one of those could have a separate function.
Okay, now, the fact that they were working on people, why didn't they just hire a hitman and go out and do whatever they needed to do? Why mind control these people?
Well, here again, when you look at the vast population of the Earth, billions of people, now we're up to 6.6 billion people, and you are a small, relatively small group in comparison of even a couple of hundred thousand people that want to control the rest of the population.
Right.
You know, there aren't enough hitmen in the world to do that. And plus, the Illuminati or the powers, the power brokers as you call them, they didn't spend centuries and millennium creating a large slave population in order to then destroy it. I mean, they spent a lot of time and effort to create these billions of little robots out there that can be controlled into a society that fits into their agenda.
What are some of the techniques they're using to program people, and are they trying to do it en masse?
Yes. Well, as I mentioned in my website and in my books, the entire population of the planet at this point is mind controlled to some degree or another. That's all 6.6 billion. These days, and in the last 10 to 15 years, they have been able, through satellite transmission alone, to tap into the brain waves of humanity and piggyback mind control waves on the brain waves, the sine waves that emanate from your brain, so that the thought patterns that they are imposing or imprinting on your mind, you feel might be your own thoughts. You don't realize it's coming from externally to you. In the previous decades, they actually would have mind control programming sessions, especially that started in the late 40s and early 50s when that was brought to North America. And they would actually have a person fragmented through trauma so that the personality would be fragmented, and then they could program the person. This is why, and since World War II, there's been such a high percentage of premature births or cesarean births in North America, because that is a trauma to the fetus before it's even born, so that it comes out fractured. And the programming can begin almost immediately.
Yeah, but, you know, here we are, Stuart, 300 million people just in this country alone. They physically can't get to everybody. So they've got to be doing it on a much broader scale somehow.
That's correct. And that's why in the last 10 to 15 years, it's been mostly through satellite transmission, a radio tower, a cell phone tower, even through TV, radio, and they can even broadcast these ELF and microwave transmissions through the electricity system in your home.
And you believe this is really happening?
Well, I know it is. It's not a question of belief. It's really a fact of life. And in fact, just recently, the Canadian government allowed their citizens to sue the CIA and the NSA for these mind control experiments. That was actually on CNN and AOL News. And so that was a tacit proof that these things actually did occur.
Well, there was a time, and I've got to be honest with you, I would have said, Stuart, it's time to put you in a little chair and wheel you away somewhere. I don't think I can say that anymore because just about anything is possible nowadays, Stuart, and that's unfortunate.
Well, it is very unfortunate, and when you really do the research and you find out why they're putting certain chemicals in foods and why they are giving inoculations to everybody, those inoculations, the chemicals in the foods, are designed to enhance and support the mind control waves that are being transmitted to the population.
Do you believe chemtrails are also the same purpose here? They're spraying something on us?
Well, yes, there are chemtrails. However, that's kind of modified over the years. I don't believe that what they're doing now with the chemtrails is the same as what they did years ago. Years ago, I believe they were spraying in order to modify genetic or DNA sequences in humanity and other plants and animals on the earth. Now, I feel that the chemtrails are creating a kind of web or radio antenna across the ionosphere of the Earth in order to transmit some of these mind control waves.
So, I mean, you're correct. What are some of the symptoms of mind control? Somebody's out there right now thinking, you know, I've had phone calls from people who think they're being bombarded. They hear voices. They think something's going on. So what are things people should look for?
Well, there are so many symptoms of mind control and programming. I'll say the most common ones that I have come across over the years would be, for example, constant headaches or migraines that generate several times per week, nervous jittery feelings, strange nightmares or waking up between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. every night, which is kind of when your show is on. Also,
no, don't blame us.
No, but also intestinal disruptions, blood disorders, problems with the eyes, and especially when you look at what I call programming icons in Hollywood, music people, actors, actresses, look at their eyes, look at their face, and you'll see that both eyes do not look the same. One looks larger than the other, or one looks like a different shape than the other, a different angle on the face. That's a very big sign of programming, especially for people who are deeply programmed with intense functions and alters within their matrix.
But, all right, so why program a singer, an actor? What do they want with them?
Well, that's a very good question, and that has been going on for quite a number of years. You know, entertainment, the media in this country and most of the Western societies is very, very important, especially to young people. So when you see someone on stage like Madonna, Britney Spears, whoever it may be, they can be called programming icons, meaning that there's some part of the population's alters within their own programming matrix that responds to the visual or voice or even just written name of that particular person, and that programming icon or entertainer is then designed or created to enhance that particular type of programming in the population. And, you know, remember when Britney Spears shaved her head. And
yeah, well, she was whacked out then. She still may be, for all I know.
But then look at all the people that shaved their heads and got tattoos and did the same thing she did after they heard about what she did.
Well, the copycats, Stuart.
Well, you know, it takes a certain kind of mind pattern to completely emulate the person that you see on stage or on television. There's a reason why that happens. Most people, if they were logical and of a right mind, they wouldn't do that simply because they saw that on television.
It's going to be interesting when we open up the phone lines later on tonight to see how many of our callers agree with you that we're being mind controlled in a massive basis, or whether it's individualized or whether people don't think it's happening at all. I guess I wouldn't put it past some of them to want to do this to us.
Well, again, remember, if you had to control a vast number of people and you had limited armies and weapons to do so, the most logical thing you could do is mind control the population, remembering that the best slave is one who doesn't know they're a slave.
Well, that is absolutely true. But when you say mind control, what are you saying exactly? What are they physically doing to us?
Well, it's not just the physical. It's really the imprinting of the thought patterns. And that, of course, does affect the physical. But if they're putting chemicals in the food, in the drink.
How about in the water, yeah?
Absolutely in the water. In fact, I believe it was in England, they found out in most of the lakes and the rivers, there is a mind-altering or mood-altering chemicals that they said could have come from the urination of people on Prozac and that kind of, I mean, really ridiculous explanations that they're giving. But, you know, it would have to be millions and millions of people who would have to be on mind-altering medications in order for these chemicals to wind up in the lakes and the rivers. But in fact, they're just putting it and dumping it into the water supply.
Now, what kind of proof do we have that they're doing that, Stuart?
Well, proof is that the water has this in it. You know, if you test the water, it has traces of these chemicals in it. And, for example, people...
Maybe we're over-prescribing, huh?
Well, but imagine how many people would have to have that in order for this to show up in the support, in the water supply, or the waste system, I should say. But also look at, for example, diet soda. One of the main ingredients is aspartame. And remember, that causes brain seizures. Pilots are not allowed to drink that, but the passengers in the back are allowed to get it. You know, because the government knows that they are putting chemicals in the food and drink that can alter the way your mind works.
Whatever happened to using just good old sugar, huh?
Well, that's also kind of a drug. White sugar is one of the worst things you could put in your body.
No, I agree with that. As a matter of fact, a lot of children who have taken in too much sugar really have problems.
Well, I unfortunately personally experienced that this past week.
What happened?
One of my children was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, juvenile diabetes.
Oh, my gosh.
And almost went into a coma and died. And we had no idea that he even had anything related to this. And when we went to the hospital, he was taken by ambulance to the hospital.
How old was he?
He's 11 and a half.
Okay, just a little guy.
Yeah, he's little. The attending physician told the diagnosis was, and I quote, bad luck, unquote. Now, there's no such thing as bad luck as a diagnosis. Now, here is the doctor, very overweight, guzzling Diet Coke and eating bags of chips and telling me how I'm going to control the diabetes in my child. And when I said to him, there's evidence that the corn syrup in foods is blocking insulin production, he said, oh, no, that's just not true.
Well, there's a lot of reports say that is true.
Well, it is true, and in fact, I have further research and evidence that I've come across that shows the inoculations that children get when they're very young is actually direct evidence pointing to type 1 diabetes factors.
But the dumping of, let's say, Prozac into the water would do what to us? Let's say we're drinking it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just calm us down or what?
Yeah, well, dumbing down the population. You know, when you are perpetrating all kinds of events, both nationally and globally, and you don't want to have a serious response or reaction to it by the population, you're going to want them to be doped up and dumbed down. I mean, look what happens with the reaction to the war in Iraq and what they're planning to do now in Iran. In fact, they allow the president of Iran to come to the United States and show him as a buffoon and make fun of him. All of this is designed, it's a setup, so that they can then create an event subsequently that the population will accept and not question.
Well, that may happen. You may be very right about that. Stay with us with our guest tonight, Stuart Swerdlow, talking about mind control. He believes it's happening. Do you? A little bit later on tonight, we'll open up the phone lines and get your take. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Stuart Swerdlow, and later on we'll take your phone calls as well. I would guess, Stuart, that probably many people listening to this program will agree with you that there's some kind of mind control. I don't know how extensive, but that there's some kind of mind control program going on, not only on in this country, but around the planet. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would absolutely say that you'd have to really just look at the population and see that people are not acting right. Obviously, there's something going on here that is not correct. There is approximately 10 to 15% of the global population, well, I should say really of the U.S. population, since we'll stick with what's here, that is what I call specifically programmed. And what that means is these people have very, very deep layers and layers and layers of programming, while the rest of the world has basically surface programming or simply the ones that they're receiving from the satellite transmission, cell towers, etc. The people with specific programming, and that still does number into the millions, have very specific functions that are designed to bring in or help bring in certain types of agendas that the Illuminati or power brokers have in mind. For example, what I see happening these days is the installment of what I call a staged alien invasion programming, which was designed about 40 years ago. And what it is supposed to do is to create the sensation in the population that we are about to be invaded or attacked by an alien force from space. Now, this is totally staged. It's not a real invasion that will occur, but they want people to feel that it is, because when you install fear in the population, that makes people more open for control. And when you make someone afraid, for example, if you're in a building that's on fire and there's someone that says, I know the way out, you're going to follow them whether they know the way out or not.
Yep, because you figure you don't have any other choice.
Correct. And that's why we're seeing in the last couple of years all of this information in conventional media about UFO sightings, objects in space, alien life forms that might have been detected, planets that are like Earth. They're laying the foundation now publicly for the possibility that there's some kind of life out there that might be intelligent.
Stuart, are you saying that all these UFO cases that we've heard about, let's say over the last 40 or 50 years, were all induced, created by governments in order for this scheme to occur?
I'm going to say that a lot of them were. I will not say 100% because there really are aliens out there. However, the government is using that as a method to control the population through fear. A lot of these people who claim to have been abducted by aliens, when they go through very deep hypnosis or self-psychoanalysis, they find out through their awareness levels that it was actually human beings masquerading as aliens that abducted them, and many report seeing people in military uniforms.
So as this evolves, this program, this alien invasion, envision for us how it will be announced and what will we see, what will happen?
Very good question. And first they have to lay the foundation, as I mentioned, that there is a possibility that there are alien beings out there. And in fact, I just had information yesterday that in Australia it was announced that some signal was received by an American a satellite installation there that had some very strange sounds and imprintings that was just yesterday from a very deep part of space, and they said it was most likely artificial. So that kind of little news blurb that you would see here and there kind of gets the path prepared. They also then over the years have created television and movie shows like Star Trek and Star Wars, etc., that imprint in the population the acceptance of an alien civilization or many alien civilizations.
E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind, things
correct.
Like that?
Okay. Absolutely correct. And then you create stories into the public, like Betty and Barney Hill, who, you know, they really did have an experience. However, When they went through analysis, Barney Hill said that they were wearing military uniforms, you know, and so they were human beings. So all of these, and then the person has a mask memory placed on the real memory, so they think aliens did it instead of people. Then they have created, and this is back in the early 60s, they created a technology that they're calling Blue Beam. And what Blue Beam does is it creates holographic images, both in the sky and on the planet, that look very real. And over the years, they've perfected it to the point where they can actually add sound and physical sensations to this holographic image. For example, if you remember in the last year or two, almost every continent has experienced a meteor hit of some kind. And last year in Australia, just outside of Sydney, the population saw a large object streaking through the sky, and then they said they saw it hit the ground with this loud explosion that rocked everything. And when emergency crews went to the location, there was absolutely nothing there.
Nothing to be found.
No, and it, yet it appeared on Sydney Airport radar.
Okay, now give me, though, your best guess, Stuart, on how the announcement will occur. I mean, I would assume leaders of various countries will all go on television in their respective country and say what during this invasion?
Well, what did Ronald Reagan say to the United Nations several years ago? He said, what would happen if this planet was faced with an outside invasion force or a weapon? And he kind of intimated it would be alien. Now, look what happened a couple of days ago. This thing crashed in southern Peru on the Bolivian border. Now, first the population in the area saw this big light in the sky, and then it crashed into the ground and created a huge crater that filled with water, and now everyone in the area is getting sick. And so what I read just earlier today was that they said it's mass hysteria. Well, there's no mass hysteria because there is a crater there that wasn't there before, and something hit it and opened up this illness that's going on around there. Meteors really don't do that. It's not been ever known that a meteor would create illness in an area. So these are the kind of stories that they put into the public, because a year from now they could say, yes, that was some kind of an alien weapon designed to hurt us and make us sick. And maybe more of these will appear over the Earth in the next few months. Who knows?
All right. If they convince us that aliens are out there, are they going to say an attack is imminent or is underway? What are they going to say there?
Well, yes, they're going to say that something is about to hit the Earth. Now, I just have to use the media icons as an example of what we talked about earlier. There was a story in the news about Tom Cruise, and they said he's more crazy than ever because now in his mansion in Colorado, underneath his mansion, he's building a huge bunker where he and his family can live for years because he believes the Earth is about to be invaded.
Yes, I had that story last night. You're absolutely correct.
So that's part of the programming. It's like, wow, you know, Tom Cruise thinks aliens are going to invade the Earth. And then he was in this, you know, the movie that was out about the remake of the invasion of the Earth. All these things that are imprint.
War of the Worlds.
And then this is how they imprint, and then, you know, all of a sudden there's a real story about it. You see this going on all of the time.
So when people panic, and they will, what will they do?
Well, here's what I know as the full scenario over time. Once they announce the staged alien invasion and they make they turn on all the switches for what it's called Green Star programming. Green Star is the umbrella programming for all alien related matters and mind control, whether it's a contactee, abductee, invasion, what have you. All of the triggers for people with this type of programming will be in place. So then they will actually turn on the Blue Beam project, where you will see alien objects in the sky, maybe laser beams hitting the Earth, that kind of a thing. And here's the other thing that CNN reported not too long ago, is that the north and south poles of the Earth have been bombarded mysteriously with a very heavy ELF and microwave bombardment. And the government said they don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming from space. Now, this is on CNN. This is not in, you know, some UFO magazine somewhere. And the government actually opened an office in Colorado to study this phenomenon, to see what it is and where it's coming from. So here's another thing the government is doing that makes them look like they themselves are curious and wondering about what's going on, and yet it's given to the public that something is going on that's coming in from outer space. So then you put Bluebeam on, you have these ships coming, people see things in the sky, airline pilots are already reporting objects like the one that was hanging over Britain a couple of months ago that was a mile wide, reported by commercial airline pilots, things like that going on. Then you have this bombardment of the Earth, explosions, landings, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, what do you mean landings? If it's a phony invasion, how are we going to have landings?
Well, then the government does have vehicles that look like UFOs. In fact, that's what Area 51 is about, where they build these things and fly them all over the Earth. So the government has these vehicles. It's not that's not a secret anymore.
So those are the things that will land.
Yes, and then they will have contacts or staged contacts that will show that there are truly alien beings out there. Then what will happen is they will create a savior race or a race that will come in to save us from this horrible invader, and that will most likely be the reptilians, which I talked about last time on your show.
Right.
And these reptilians will become the savior race. It will be announced that they really are our ancestors because we also have reptilian DNA, and that will be proven and given out to public, which kind of has been already. And then, after that, another agenda of the government, the staged second coming, where they actually bring in a staged second coming of Christ.
How are they going to do that, Stuart?
Sorry?
How are they going to do that?
Well, they're going to do that by bringing in a person that they've created, just like they've created Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi and every other person they create there as a threat. And they'll bring in this person that they've already created genetically and match the DNA of this person to the blood on the Shroud of Turin, which has recently by the Israelis been proven to be authenticated again. And then he will proclaim the New World Order as his holy empire, and then they will wrap the whole thing up with a complete global government under this false religion that they're going to impose as well. That's the scenario.
You believe all these things. If you do.
I don't just believe it. I know it to be a fact. And if you read my website and you read my newsletter,
I do. You know that.
I show you the stories that are showing that this leading up to this point.
All right, now once they do all this, what are they going to do to us?
Do you ever see all Star Trek shows with the Borg, the controlled half living biological creatures and half computer, all
right,
connected to central system?
Yes.
That's what they're going to have. We will be the Borg. We will be specifically programmed for functions. There'll be no deviation in the civilization. They will have created a robot world controlled by them with no possible threat of overthrowing them, and they will have achieved their agenda.
Kind of hard to believe, but you never know.
It's happening now. I mean, look out there. Look at the people that have blinders on. Look at the people out there that whatever happens, the explanation is fine to them. They don't dig any further. Whatever the media tells them is the reason, that's what they believe. And you see this all the time. You see this with global warming. You see this with the war in Iraq. You see this with the prices of gasoline. All of this, the public just accepts and does nothing about it.
How soon is this staged second coming going to occur?
That's going to be after the staged alien invasion. It's a scenario. They build up to a certain point, and then they wrap it all up. And you can see that there's already something going on globally with religion. They're trying to undermine religions that exist now and replace it with something else. Even the Vatican issued a statement saying that the New Age philosophy actually has a place in their belief system. You see, look what they've done well, and I've talked about this in my books, about how they're going to create religious icons, a new type of Christ, a new type of female icon, which Princess Diana is actually has been set up to do in Britain, which she's like the new Holy Mother. And shortly after her death, a woman in Norway started channeling Princess Diana, and Diana told her that she had been the grandmother of Jesus, which actually makes her even more important than Mary. Mary, see, she's the holy grandmother of the earth now.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. She's gone now.
Well, yes, but look where she's set up in a mausoleum on an island in Britain waiting for worship. And you know they never let her memory go. There's always something about Diana in the news, whether it's about her death or about her life or what she believes in. There's always something there that's just keeping it going, that keeping that momentum.
Well, you could always say the same thing about Elvis Presley.
Well, all of these people are icons. Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, all of these people have programming connotations for the public. And some kind of a function that they're bringing out in the public.
But, Stuart, if you're basically saying everything is geared toward control and programming.
Well, yes. The entire planet now is set up as a giant trigger ball. Everything you do, everywhere you go, there is some kind of programming trigger that enhances what's in your mind already. And if you think about it logically, if you believe and understand about mind control, it makes a lot of sense that instead of having words, there are logos in particular colors that trigger the way you think when you go into a store, that there are subliminals in the music that you hear that make you think a certain way, that the movies and television shows that you watch are designed to keep your programming in the momentum that it needs to be in.
What do they want, Stuart, beyond the control? Why do they want to control us?
Ultimately, these controlling people or families seek to create an empire that will eventually grow into a galactic empire, and the Earth will become a central location from which they reach out to other civilizations in the universe. So really, it's not a very pleasant thought, but they're trying to create a galactic empire that would rival anything the Nazis ever thought of.
Man, well, I tell you what, we'll open up the phone lines in just a moment, and we'll get people to react to some of the things that you have just said. Your books, most the recent one, 13 Cubed, where do you get it?
Well, you can get it at my website, www.expansions.com. It's really literally hot off the presses. We just picked them up yesterday. You can call us, but please don't call now, at 269-429-8615, and we do take orders during business hours. So you can get the book. We're already starting to mail them out. And I will actually be talking about the book on some lecture tours that are coming up.
Okay, well, stay with us. Stuart's website, of course, is expansions.com. He'll be with us in just a moment, a little bit more to talk with him about. I want to get your views, though, with him on whether you think he's right on or right off. You're next on Coast to Coast AM. Stuart, what if Tom Cruise is correct and we do get hit with a real invasion and we don't recognize the staged one?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point. Because I have other investigations that are going on with researchers that I know working with the objects that have been spotted in the last year or so in the Kuiper's Belt, which is that region of space beyond Neptune and Pluto. And as your listeners may know, on the news they've been saying, especially last summer, that large objects had been spotted there. Almost every other day they've come up with a new one that they've discovered. And that is what led to the reclassification of Pluto as not a planet anymore, for example. But these objects that have appeared in the Kuiper's Belt have not ever been seen before, and they appear to be moving as if they were under some kind of an intelligence. So my feeling is that maybe there is some group out there in the Kuiper's Belt that is monitoring what's going on here, and may make some kind of a move. From what I understand, and I do have connections to certain intelligence agencies in different countries, that they don't know what they are, and they've never seen anything like it before, and it's a bit of a concern. So my feeling is they may try to do a staged alien invasion before anything happens in order to consolidate their power here on Earth, before any real invasion does occur.
In terms of the mindset of a human being, Stuart, after a staged invasion, what do you think human beings would do?
Well, that's why programming exists, because they will do what they're programmed to do, and that is to accept this new way of life, to accept this new alien presence, which has really always been here, and to go on with their lives in the way that would be conducive to the new state of affairs on the Earth. You know, on the commercial breaks, I hear something about 2012 that someone spoke about, and
right.
I happen to agree with that person's statement about 2012 just being, you know, the center of time instead of the end of time. 2012, you know, what programming does, how it works is, it can't hold or latch onto the mind unless it connects to a thought pattern that is already there. So, for example, if you have a fear of spiders naturally, they can use that and program some kind of a spider fear into you, for example, just as an example. So if you have a fear that 2012 is going to be the end of time because the Mayans said so, then they can use that as a programming function so that everyone's worried about 2012 and doesn't know what's going to happen, and then they can arrange something to happen in 2012 to fulfill the prophecy.
And
that's what I see happening. 2012 is just a year like any other year, and the Mayan prophecies really pertain to the Mayans. Because if you study their history and their previous cataclysmic predictions, that happened many times over their history as far as the end of a civilization, but it pertained to their particular culture. And also their prophecies and their predictions were based on sunspot activity, which, if your listeners may know, we're starting to enter into a very heavy period of sunspot activity, which affects communications on Earth and even geological disturbances on Earth. So that's really what 2012 is about. But if you take that and you program it into some big fear and the ends of the world, then people are going to be very upset and worried and follow whatever you tell them to do.
How do you deprogram someone then, Stuart?
Well, that's what has been I've developed over a period of years. And I must let the listeners know that never, if you had asked me years ago, would you do deprogramming or is that what your profession would be, I would also balk at that because that's not what I would want to do. But unfortunately, in my years working with people as a mental intuitive and helping them with their health and their mind pattern, programming has come up in almost every single person that I've come across. And so by default, I had to start doing deprogramming work and developing deprogramming techniques with people. And, you know, as something goes in, that's how it has to come out. And so one of the things that I've developed is an archetype symbol that was part of what I call language of hyperspace, which I talked about last time I was on your show. There is a symbol called a brown merger symbol, which you can read about on my website and in my books. This brown merger symbol, when mentally created at the pineal gland at the center of the head, actually acts as an energetic needle and thread to reintegrate the components of the fragmented personality. So it's a way of starting a process of putting your personality whole again and getting to the core personality. When they fracture the personality into the cube, into this matrix cube, there are other constructs that they put into this cube energetically in order to hold it together. Sometimes it could be a construct that looks like a castle or a hotel, which is why sometimes people dream about those things or have a predisposition towards that kind of a structure. Each of the rooms in the hotel or castle or building represents a compartment in the programming matrix or a part of your personality.
Let's go to the phones then, Stuart. You ready?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Wild card line, you're on the air with us. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yes, this is Tambra in New Orleans, Louisiana. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi.
Hello. Stuart, you're right on the mark. I've read a book called The Pleiadian Agenda by Barbara Hand Clow. I wish you'd have her on the program. In the age of Leo, between 10,800 BC and 8640 BC, we were in the photon band. We are now exiting the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And in December 21st, 2012, the sun will be fully in the photon band, and that is why we are exiting the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And at year zero, which was the death of Christ, web started being woven, and it's a control. And fortunately, the good news is, folks, and I highly recommend you read this book, is that the Pleiadians have been observing us for 26,000 years, and they are going to help us ascend through this web, which is going to become like a liquid light, and we are going to transform. And the fear, and if they talk about the world management team and all of these iconics that are being presented to us, and they laugh at the television because we have our own telepathic abilities. And I'm really excited to talk to you all. I mean, I have so much more to say, but this book is a very encyclopedic book. And Stuart, you're right on the mark. I have been harassed since I was about 19 years old, and I know exactly where you're coming from, and I know exactly what they're doing, and I'm not afraid of them. And, you know, I'm in New Orleans, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and in this house that I live in, which is 102 years old. So I just want to thank you all, and I can't believe I got through. And the good news is there is a way out of this. So
now, what's the way out?
When the sun comes fully into the photon band, December 21st, 2012.
Okay.
The Pleiadians come interdimensionally. There's 12 dimensions. Christ is in the 12th dimension. The Pleiadians can only basically connect through us. They're like in a faceted, almost like a kaleidoscopic faceted type of dimensional viewpoint, because they're such a distance away from us. And they cannot get caught. They will get caught in the third dimension or the fourth. So they look at us from the fifth. There's several dimensions, you know, they just through telepathy, et cetera, and enlightenment. And by the way, I started yoga 2 months ago, and I am starting to really gear towards Buddhism and Hinduism. And, I know I'm in the Bible Belt, but, I'm deprogramming myself.
All right. Well, let's get your take, Stuart.
Incredible people have come to New Orleans to help.
All right, Tambra, thank you. Stuart, do you want to react to some of the things she said?
Oh, yeah, she said a lot of things there. I would, if I may, before I say anything else, say that New Orleans has been known to be a very big ritualistic center for the Illuminati. In other words, a lot of ritual ceremonies are performed there. And the hurricane that hit that area was part of what they call a global ritual or global sacrifice in order to achieve certain energies for the events and goals that they intend to do in the future. And by the way,
are you saying they developed Hurricane Katrina?
Oh, it was artificially created and steered right to New Orleans. And as most of your listeners already know, those levees were intact after the hurricane passed. And people in the area reported some kind of an electronic burst or pulse that then created the levees to collapse and flood the city. So it was a planned event. And in fact, there was a woman who is a seismologist at UCLA, and she had said 2 years before Katrina, she said that there will be three major events that hit the United States. One of them would be a terrorist attack in New York, which occurred. Then she said, this was a year before Katrina, she said a major hurricane striking the Gulf area around New Orleans. And then she said another major disaster would be the destruction of Los Angeles in a major cataclysmic earthquake, which I feel could happen at any moment.
Right, and I'm going back to L.A. in a few weeks. Great, Stuart.
You better learn my protection techniques before you go there.
Well, if you're in the middle of an earthquake, how can you get protected?
Well, if you keep yourself in a violet protection energy field and use what I call the ultimate protection technique, which is a tetrahedron inside an octahedron, nothing will happen to you no matter what's going on around you.
Just want to make sure my studio there stays intact.
Yes, you might want to think about moving it elsewhere.
Well, I do have the backup in the cave in St. Louis, but I need Los Angeles to get the signal out.
I understand that, but you know, knowing what's about to occur, we have to take our precautions and make our plans. But going back to what that woman said, in some ways, there's some programming issues in what she spoke about. A lot of what she mentioned to me connects to the New World Religion, which is being imposed on the Earth. Yes, there are beings from the Pleiades star system, but there are seven stars in the Pleiades. And so talking about Pleiadians is like talking about Europeans. Now, which ones are they? You know, the Russians, the Germans, the French, the Portuguese. There's so many different ones. Every one of those stars has planets, and each of those planets has civilizations. The Pleiadian star system is younger than our own star system, which means no life naturally evolved there. It emigrated from elsewhere, which if you read my Blue Blood, True Blood book, you know that these are really refugees from the Lyrian star system. So there's a lot of different connotations in this particular topic. A lot of the Pleiadian information, I'm sorry to say, and I know your listeners may disagree, a lot of it has to do with the New Age government mind control system, where the Pleiadians are these space brothers coming to help, when in fact, a lot of it is just government-created programming.
Okay, let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello, George Norrie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Jack. I'm calling from Cameron Park, a longtime listener.
California.
Caller.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, he's got a really interesting, you've got a really interesting program, and I agree with everything Stuart says. I was just wondering if you're familiar with the book by Hal Lindsey, The Great Late Planet Earth.
Oh, yes, I'm sure he is.
And a lot of things that he's talking about, this is what Hal Lindsey talks about. And as far as the mind control, I'm a vet from 70 to 73, U.S. Army. And I talk to a lot of vets, and they all have the similar kind of thing. They all love watching History Channel. They all love the Discovery Channel.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of wondering if that's some kind of programming that they did in the second phase. He was talking about the blue light. Are these going to be ex-veterans doing this kind of thing that he's talking about? Or I'll go off the air and listen for your answer.
Okay. Ex-veterans doing some of the work? I'm not sure.
Okay, well, hi, Jack. Anyway, yes, believe it or not, a lot of my clientele are veterans from the various, going back to the Vietnam War and even some from the Korean and World War II. Yes, they used a lot of the soldiers in the military on experimental basis, especially the ones used in Vietnam. In fact, you know that there are literally thousands of missing in action soldiers that have never been identified or located, and many of these soldiers were actually taken to places where they were programmed. In fact, we recently heard of one in North Korea who finally came forward, and he had a Korean family, and he finally stepped forward and said that he had been mind controlled there. North Korea being one of the very big mind control centers on the planet, which is why it was a closed society for so long and still is. So, yes, the military uses their own people for programming, experimentation. A lot of the veterans do have deep programming in them. Some of it is what I call vigilante programming, which is that they will be going about when the time comes to enforce the New World Order law and report on people who are not literally following the program. We've seen premature activations of vigilante programming in the recent past, for example, with the sniper shootings in the Washington, D.C., Virginia area that occurred. We see other vigilantes occurring across the United States and even across the world. And what they do is, before they fully activate a program globally, they test it here and there to see if the programming is working. So they literally trigger a couple of people to see if the function is intact. And that's how they know whether they need to change something, recalibrate something through satellite transmission, or if everything is ready in place and ready to go. So yes, vets are definitely part of that system. That doesn't mean all of them are, but there is a high percentage of the veterans in this country and elsewhere who will be used as part of the various agendas as they become available to active function.
Okay, next up, first-time caller line. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Cicely, and I'm located in Hayward.
And that's also in California. Go ahead.
Yeah. Stuart, I need you to answer this question. I listened to one of your other interviews on YouTube. I was introduced to you by my husband, and one thing that I don't think you were allowed to really get into was the hierarchy of the Draco race, and I really would like to know more about that.
Hi, Cicely.
And I think you talked about that race on the last time you were with me, but go ahead.
Yes, I think I did, and I do mention it in the Blue Blood, True Blood book. Yes, the Draco hierarchy, and again, I'll just go back to the very beginning. There are seven reptilian species that make up the Draco Empire from the Draco star system. And the Hindu religion, the caste system of the Hindu religion, is actually based on the Draco hierarchy. In the hierarchy, there is an elite group which are known as the white-winged reptilians, which people have reported seeing. They actually have very white skin and blue eyes. And then there's a warrior class. There is a philosophical class. There's many different layers that go all the way down to what we would call in the Hindu caste system as the untouchables. And those are basically the drones and the workers that go about getting everything in order and doing the dirty work, literally. So, yes, there is a hierarchy. I had talked about once the Soviet Union sent a spacecraft to descend beneath the clouds of Venus to take photographs before the heat of that planet destroyed the cameras. And one of the pictures that were sent back, this was in the 1980s, was seven domed areas on the surface of Venus.
And stay with us, Stuart. We'll let you finish up on that question of the Dracos when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Stuart, before we go back to more calls, let's let you wrap up on your Draco theory, okay? Go ahead.
Right. I was talking about the domed areas that were spotted by Soviet spacecraft on Venus, and there were seven equally sized domes, perfectly circular, and that was actually reported in the late 1980s in U.S. newspapers, and NASA was analyzing the photographs and came to the conclusion that they were actually natural formations, never explaining how they could become so perfectly circular and spaced out evenly. If you understand about the Draco hierarchy of the reptilian civilizations, you would know that the seven species do not mix with each other. They have their place. They are also programmed to perform their functions, which is why they're kept separately. And it would make sense, then, that they would have separate living quarters on a place where they would invade or set up a shop, so to speak. And actually, I did a seminar on this called Galactic History, which was recently set to music, which exclusively on Snowcap, you can get it on my MySpace location or on my website. And Snowcap has Galactic History, which I did this music with a man by the name of Hervig Maurer, who was recently gotten nominated for an Academy Award for his work on Apocalypta. And he also worked on The Passion, and he also did the sound effect for King of the Hill. So I was very proud to work with him. And any of your listeners want to know about Galactic History, go to MySpace, Stuart Swerdlow, go to the Snowcap player and listen to that, or you can go on my site and go to the Snowcap player and listen to it.
Very good. And now to the phones we go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up. Hi there.
Hello. How you guys doing?
We're well. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Harry Smith. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Okay, Harry,
I wanted
go
to make
ahead.
This real quick. I understand what he's saying about subliminal messages in music, but, I mean, the reality behind it is it's going to be there regardless, you know? I mean, for instance, when you have commercials on the radio, there's catchy tunes and stuff that make you say to yourself, oh, I'll call here or you know, I'll listen to this channel. You know, that's just something that's been there and that will always be there. You know what I'm saying?
It's part of marketing.
And the other thing I wanted to say is not too long ago I had a dream about my deceased grandfather, and he was coaxing me into this basement, and he was showing me this nook, like in the roof. And I went there, and I looked up in there, and I found a Thompson machine gun, an old Thompson machine gun. And, I mean, I understand that really doesn't have that much to do with what you guys are talking about, but I was wondering, do you guys think that that can be some sort of type of extra dimension where people can communicate?
Well, that's a long shot, Stuart. I don't know if you're into the dream end of interpretation.
Well, you know that I do dream interpretation as well.
I want to. All right, I'll let you handle it then.
Sure. I'm kind of a one-stop shop. But yes, Harry, you actually have something there. I'll talk about your what you mentioned about movies and music, etc. And you know, I do a very close connection to the music industry, and they do have subliminals in there. The songs are written a certain way, the music is written a certain way. You know, thanks to Sirius and Clear Channel Radio, only certain things are allowed to be on the air, and that's why we have a very limited number of artists who are allowed to get their work broadcast. So, yes, that's part of the programming. And remember, in the 50s and 60s, when you went to the movies, there would be a little flash of a Coke or popcorn or something in what the trailers you were watching to make you stimulated into buying those things. And that was the beginning of mind control and programming in this country. And that's been extrapolated to much more than just the desire for Coke or popcorn. It's the desire for a lot of other things now. But going back to your dream, Harry, there are many... There are two kinds of dreams that I categorize, and each one is symbolic. Program people have about 70% of their dreams are programming dreams, which means they are releasing information from their programming matrix. And the rest of the dreams are what I call oversoul dreams, or coming from the real part of self that is a status report of what your life is about at the moment. That's, you only dream about yourself. Now, when you dream about finding a machine gun in the basement of a house, that's very symbolic. I don't feel that was a programming dream. I think that was something else. Dreaming about your grandfather, that could have been a contact with your deceased grandfather. Very often the deceased do contact us in the dream state because that's when we're most receptive to that kind of a contact. But grandfathers, symbolically in a dream, represent our very old spiritual creative thought patterns that are coming to the surface. And a machine gun or that kind of a gun is actually a phallic symbol. And the basement represents the foundation of your being. So if you put all that together, I would say that that dream represented some kind of a sexual issue that you need to creatively look at the very foundation of your mind pattern, which is apparently paramount in your life at this point.
Interesting, Stuart, how you came about that. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello. Rather than get too otherworldly or new age, I think some of the things you touched on briefly about how more conventional means of brainwashing are going on right now, leading us into a disastrous war against Iran. George, you mentioned earlier Daniel Ellsberg has said this in his article that you said Google up, Daniel Ellsberg coup.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that this will lead to detention camps in this country that this government has been setting in place for a long time, that Iran is not a threat, with the complicity of the Democrats and the media, are setting us up for an even greater catastrophe war than Iraq is, and that this will lead to the end of our constitutional rights and detention camps. And I was also reading on commondreams.org, Scott Ritter, the chief inspector, is even stronger in saying this has to be the main contest right now against the corporate media's propaganda, using the same lies and the same liars, the same phony think tanks, the Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck's, and all the rest of them to lead us into a catastrophe against Iran. And if you look at...
Hey, some of those are my friends, though.
Well, I think they're not my friends, though, but I think that if you just look at the situation, this demonization of Iran, after we have overthrown their government and installed a vicious Shah dictatorship that killed and tortured scores of thousands, and then, if they had, for instance, as we have attacked and occupied and bombed Afghanistan and Iraq on the site on their borders, and they had invaded and did the same thing to Canada and Mexico, and were sending in terrorists, as we're sending in the MEK terrorists.
Okay, before you get to Jack, before you get too far down your own agenda here, a question for Stuart?
Well, I wanted to point out that he's right. I think we have to not talk about these things in abstractions. We're in a critical situation right now where the media, the Democrats, the Republicans are leading us into a catastrophe. And even people like Ray McGovern, the former CIA brief for five presidents, says these people are crazy. Yet the media is cheerfully leading us into the same kind of disaster on a larger scale than we have in Iraq. This is, I think, the earthbound types of conventional propaganda that we've got to worry about. For instance, if you would Google Operation Mockingbird, it tells you how the media has collaborated with the Central Intelligence Agency in brainwashing us for these kinds of wars for the last 70 years, and they've had the cooperation of the media. And if you just Google things like anti-communist lies, or if you Google things like U.S. support for Nazis, or even Zionist support for Nazis, you'll find out how we've been deceived as to who the real enemy is in this country.
Is that brainwashing, Stuart?
Well, that is conditioning, and your caller is absolutely correct. And we are being set up for the next war, which will be with Iran. I don't feel that the Iranian war will be on land as it was in Iraq. I think it'll be more of a saturation bombing. I think it'll be more of an air war. And I also feel that the Israelis will be more involved in it than of course, in Iraq. But, yes, I know for a fact that when George Bush Jr. took office, he told privately to certain people, one of whom that I know, that he intended to eliminate seven countries in Central Asia that were in the way of establishing his New World Order. And so Iran was one of them. Iraq was one of them. Remember, we created Saddam Hussein. And your caller is correct. We established the Shah in Iran, and we also eliminated him. They play with world leaders in such countries like a chessboard or a computer game, where you replace things as needed and create the images that you want to create. You know, I think I mentioned the last time I was on your show about Saddam Hussein, the German television identified at least 10 different versions of him. You know, which one did they find in this hole in the ground when they captured him? You know, and how come the scar over his eye the next day vanished in the mysterious?
Are you saying they executed someone else?
I'm going to say that Saddam Hussein is more than one of them, just like Osama, bin Laden, is also a figment of the government's imagination. Yes, there was a person like that that existed, but they take that and they create something else with it. And they'll never find Osama because he doesn't exist as they say he exists. It's just a fear issue to put into the public so that we have an ongoing reason to be there.
But sure, you actually think they did not get and execute the real Saddam Hussein?
Of course not. Of course not. Do you really think that Saddam, and I knew people who knew him years ago, as a matter of fact. I had a lot of Iraqi friends at the time. And let me tell you something. Do you really think that Saddam Hussein would live for months in a hole underground after spending decades in lavish palaces with guards around? Do you think that he would wind up there and then be captured? I mean, it's absolutely laughable what the media has portrayed of him, and everyone believes it.
Well, who's the guy they executed? Why didn't he come kicking and screaming, saying, wait a minute, I may have been the double, but I'm not him?
Because he's programmed to believe that he was him. That's what programming is about. There are alters in each individual that come out as personalities that may be totally different to the original personality. This person that they portrayed as Saddam Hussein, if you look at his picture and his facial features and compare it to the pictures of 30 years ago, it's not the same person.
Well, things change on your body after a while.
You know, police have forensics that can age a child that was kidnapped 30 years ago and show as an adult. Same thing, they can take that picture and say what this person should look like at the current time period. That's not what this person looked like.
Well, Stuart, I know what you're saying. I know what the caller is saying in terms of the manipulation in order to create events to maximize what you want to do. And there's no doubt that that is a very strong possibility in Iran, creating a case, maybe even some kind of catastrophic event in order to go in and justify an attack. I think that's all very possible. But I also think, you know, it's bizarre. Where is Osama bin Laden? Why aren't we going after him? It is weird. I mean, I will give you this. Everything is not as it appears to be.
That's right. That's right. Now, with the technology that the government has, where they can pinpoint a fly crawling on your shoulder, don't you think they would know where Osama bin Laden is? Don't you think they would know where Steve Fawcett's plane is? This is all a scam on the public. This is all a delusion, a diversion.
Steve Fawcett, our remote viewer, Ed Dames, is going to have a report for us next week, and he's sending in a crew to try to look for Steve Fawcett. He believes it's there somewhere. What does Steve Fawcett have to do with it?
Well, it's just another media event, you know, Steve Fawcett. You know, and it's also interesting that the same thing happened when JFK Jr.'s plane went down in Long Island Sound. Now, that's the most heavily monitored area on the face of the earth, and it took them a week to find his plane. So again, when they create a situation and they want to create a story, a cover story, they make this big drama around it, and it goes on for time and time until people finally forget about it, and then they come up with an answer and people go, oh, so that's what happened, and then they drop the story. My opinion is Steve Fawcett staged his own disappearance for whatever his reason was. And a lot of these people do things like that, and I think they'll never find him.
Yeah, you think he's alive somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, why would he – a guy like that doesn't vanish without a trace, especially in an area so close to Area 51.
Well, it depends on where he went, though, Stuart. Nobody knows. The guy didn't have a flight pattern.
He wasn't supposedly going that far. You know, and you know, that area, Nevada, as you know, 80% of Nevada is owned by the government. That is heavily monitored. They know exactly where he went.
What do you think happened? Honestly.
I think he staged his disappearance. I think that he went somewhere else and wanted to finish his life here on Earth in a way that would be dramatic and mysterious, and then he went somewhere else with them. And that has happened before with other people.
What about his wife?
Well, you know, people move on.
Oh, come on, Stuart. You think he staged his disappearance, left his wife, just to have his own life?
You know, that's happened before with other people.
Well, a few people, but I don't think Steve Fawcett would do it, for crying out loud. He was a multimillionaire balloonist.
You know, if you look at these people's lives and you see what they were involved in, the story gets a little bit wider.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to put you down. Please, you understand that. I don't do that to guess. Is there anything that is not some kind of government mind-control trick that's being perpetrated on us in your mind?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the entire planet is designed to trigger people constantly. Every everything on TV, everything in the stores, the food that you eat, the clothes that you wear, all of that is designed to enhance and keep the momentum of the programming going. Do you know that the United States allows 15,000 chemicals in food that they don't have to put in the label? You know that have they that they have they put
chemicals. Well, is that mind control, Stuart, or stupidity and greed?
Oh, that's not stupidity. It's brilliant what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly the effect that they want to have, and it's working, and people believe it. You know, most of the people out there have blinders on. People come up to me and they say, oh, can't we turn this around? Can't we change it? And I said, yes, you can change it if people will wake up and remove their victimization and take control of their own lives. And yes, it can absolutely, it could change tomorrow. But is that feasible? Does it look like it's happening? No. Most people are more worried about how they're going to pay for gasoline, how they're going to pay their mortgage, if their children are going to go to school. That's what they're worried about. Most people aren't caring about who's running Iran. They don't care about what's going on in Iraq. They care about what's going on in their pocketbooks and in their homes, because they want to survive. And they've made life now so difficult and tenuous that people are worried about just getting through each day. And so they're not worried about global situations anymore. They're worried about their own lives. And that's understandable. But in order to change things, we need to become globally aware on a level that goes underneath what the media is telling us.
All right. Well, stick around and stay with us, if you would, Stuart, because we're going to make another run at in our phone calls with you. Lots of people still on hold, and they haven't gotten through yet. So we'll go with you. Don't hang up if you've been on hold for a long time. I'll get to you when we come back in just a few moments right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I tell you what, there's just enough element, their feeling of truth here to make this whole thing go, wow, what's going on here on this planet, if this is all possible? We'll be back in a moment. Stuart Swerdlow, our guest, and final calls. Don't go away. Stuart, generally, I'm a pretty positive person. If it's partly whatever outside, I say it's partly sunny, not partly cloudy. What can people do, any hope here, so they can at least fight back?
Absolutely, George. And, you know, I know that sometimes I'm accused of being all doom and gloom, but let's face it, when you look out there and that's what you see, that's what you got to talk about. But we have to remember that despite everything I've spoken about, we as a species, humanity, are responsible for it and need to take responsibility. Because with the victimization mind patterns that I've spoken about before, we attract tyrants and oppressors that fulfill our low self-worth, our need for being put down, because humanity does have that kind of a thought pattern. So if we all collectively and individually work on ourselves and start to reintegrate our own mind patterns and take control of our own minds and lives, then these people cannot have control over us, and it can all end and go away. And I know I make it sound simple, but it really can be, as long as we make an effort to do that. Most of the work that I do these days is in helping people reintegrate and gain control of their minds and their bodies again, to deprogram from the mind control, to purge from the toxins that they're taking in their bodies. So, yes, there's hope, and it starts with each one of us. And I don't believe in fighting. I don't believe in wars or upheavals. I think that the attack has to be from within us. We need to go in and remove the artificial elements that have been put in us and take control of ourselves once again.
Okay, let's go to these calls. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Mark from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay, Mark, and, thank you for calling.
No problem. Love your show. I just want to ask Stuart for a comment on something. I mean, he mentioned before about mind programming in the military done in the Vietnam era. I was wondering about it happening now still. I have two family members who just got back from the Army, and it just seems like they're two completely different people now. I mean, their whole outlook has changed. They're more aggressive. They have, I guess the best way to describe it is like a blind patriotism. I mean, they think they was in Iraq, you know, fighting for freedom in America and thinking Iraq was behind 9/11. And it just seems like the thoughts they had before got completely morphed, and I was just wanting to hear his comments on that.
All right.
Thank you, Mark. And you made a very good point there. And a lot of people have said the same thing to me. And as I mentioned earlier, I have a lot of clientele in the military and even in the Border Patrol at the current moment. And so I know what's going on in those locations. Yes, they are brainwashing and mind controlling the people, the service people in Iraq. If you remember, not long ago, there was a soldier who kind of went berserk and he started to shoot his own people in his own unit and then tried to commit suicide. Suicides are very high in Iraq among military personnel. Suicide programming is a clue that there is programming going on, because in every matrix in the programming, they always put a suicide altar. When programming becomes invalid or something is going wrong, the internal programmer in the matrix kicks in and terminates the person. So, yes, what you're saying is true. A lot of what's going on in Iraq is being broadcast. In fact, during the first Gulf War, there were military aircraft dropping leaflets over Iraq, and the leaflet said, resistance is futile. Now, where did you hear that before except on the Star Trek program with the Borg? So, you know, science fiction becomes reality. Why do you think that the guards, the National Guard of Iraq, surrendered like that in the first war? Just automatically, they were trained to fight to the death. It's because of mind control that was being programmed. They had helicopters out there that are transmitting mind control waves to the entire population. You know, there were no terrorist activities in Iraq before we invaded. We brought that in there. We are creating all of these problems. And more people are dying in Iraq now than ever before. Under Saddam Hussein, yes, he was a totalitarian person, but people didn't die like they're dying now. So we have to look at all that. And in order to be a soldier in a situation where you know something is wrong and you know something, the government is doing something not right, the only way to circumvent people from knowing that publicly is by programming them, the soldiers, so that when they come back or they talk to the media, that they're going to promote the government line. Now, that, you know, Timothy McVeigh, who was accused of exploding the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, was also in Iraq and Kuwait during the first war. He said, "I was programmed there." And no sooner did he say that while he was in prison, a few days later they executed him. So, yes, what you're saying is absolutely correct. I would urge you and members of your family to maybe learn some deprogramming techniques that you can apply and maybe help bring these people back to their normal state of mind. By the way, in October and November, I am having a conference which is going to teach this kind of work of deprogramming, using the mind, integrating self. That's all available on the website if you go and look. And, of course, it's in my new book, 13 Cubed. Read that. Learn the techniques in there. Apply them. You know, even if you don't believe me, even if you don't want to accept that this is the truth, just try it for yourself and see what comes up in your own mind. It will actually, you'll be fascinated by what you will see in your own mind.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hello there.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
My name is Carolyn. I'm from Baltimore.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. I really appreciate your guest, and I agree with some of what he says. Although I don't subscribe to all of the reptilian stuff nor the alien stuff.
Okay.
I personally don't feel like there's going to be, you know, a show like he seems to think there is. And I'm a Bush supporter, by the way. But I wanted to say that I really do appreciate the well thought out and well discussed comments regarding mind control. I think that there are some points that he's made that are absolutely right on, and I think that some of the excesses that I notice in the dialogue probably come from, if I'm not mistaken, he said that he was a victim also of some of that programming. And I'm not trying to step on any toes, and I'm trying to do this gently. I think that maybe some of the excesses are a little bit because of that. But I think that, you know, I think that you're right on with a lot of the things. I know somebody that went through something similar to that during the 50s and early 60s, and they have a recollection of a house, although not a castle by any means. It's a burned-out house. And it's very interesting to think that perhaps in each of those rooms with that person, there lies, you know, some sort of an altar. Their family had been involved with the Pentagon and different things like that. And they had a very great pride in serving, even, I think, as a child. And so there is that juxtaposition of victimization versus, you know, the veterans, that the children that were veterans at that time. And so for me, it's very interesting that it's coming to the forefront where people can begin to talk about this. And I'm hoping that perhaps our country can get past it, you know, recognizing the contribution of the children and their innocence and their veteran status, and begin to move past some of these things. And I think that will provide, it'll actually probably knock the legs out of some of the people that, you know, don't have our best interests at heart. They won't be able to operate so without, you know, any sort of safeguards. People will begin to be able to look at what they're doing because they'll be talking about what they're doing. And I really do appreciate what you're saying. And, oh, the other thing that this person had is numbers. And it was like a recognition of even numbers, one specifically, that seemed to lead to tunnels, you know, of, you know, immense amounts of information where they felt they could stretch, you know, where they hadn't stretched for a long time. And so this reintegration is very interesting to watch them go through. And although I don't agree with the alien stuff, and I'm not into the reptilian stuff, you know.
Okay,
I know a lot.
Well, you've said that, Carolyn. You're going to repeat yourself. So let's get his take on some of this. Go ahead, Stuart.
Well, I'm not sure if there's a question there, and I do appreciate Carolyn at least being open-minded to the mind control and programming. Yes, of course, my experiences do color my viewpoint of what's going on out there. And as I've talked about on other shows, both on this one and others, I have spent at least 17 years now in self-deprogramming and still not done. And I never claimed to be fully integrated. I still have my own triggering issues, except that now when I do get triggered, I am consciously aware of it. I'm grateful to be married to my wife, Janet, who is also involved in this work, and she actually points out to me when I'm being triggered. And
so you believe you're still programmed somehow?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Yes, absolutely, and except that now I have a greater awareness of what that programming is and how it's affecting my life, and I know how to circumvent that and avoid the full activations. You know, when you're programmed very deeply, as people from Montauk Program were, it's pretty much a lifelong deprogramming experience. You know, you can't do the deprogramming techniques for a few days or a few months and say, okay, I'm all done now. It's not like that. It's layer and layer and layer and layer, and you need to really chip away at it. It's like having a toothpick against an iceberg and trying to get to the core of it. And so the programming isn't put in so simply that you can just undo it. That's why I teach deprogramming and tell people to do this constantly. It becomes a way of life, and the more you do, the more you reintegrate. And my hope is that if you can get at least a good chunk of the programming reintegrated into your natural oversoul mind pattern, then it'll kind of be a critical mass that'll turn the tide and reverse the rest of it automatically.
Stuart, I'd love for you to be wrong. I'm not so sure you are. I think you're right on some things. Some of the others are a little far-fetched, but you know what? Anything's possible anymore, I think.
You know, George, I appreciate you saying that, because there are days when I say, you know, I really hope I am wrong. But then I'll see something on the news, or a client will come to me, and there it is right there in my face again, and it is true. And unfortunately, every day, all you got to do is put the news on, and you see it over and over again. Everything is happening. You know, in Montauk, back in the early 70s, we were told what this time period was going to be like. And it's true. Everything they told us back then is happening now. Their agenda is being fulfilled. And, of course, their perspective was that human beings were so violent and ignorant that they could not possibly be in control of this planet by themselves. They needed to be controlled. Otherwise, there would be total chaos on this planet. And, you know, I don't totally agree with that, but quite honestly, when I look out at the world and I see the way people treat each other, I start to wonder about, you know, what hope is there sometimes, because people can be very mean and cruel to one another. So my hope is not only will they deprogram, but they'll learn how to treat each other positively and civilly and unconditionally, and that will be a perfect society.
I'd love to buy dinner for you, Stuart, and Alex Jones, and tape it and play it back on the show. You too. Have you heard of Alex?
Of course. In fact, he's advertised some of my things on his site.
Great. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is John from Bonnie Lake, Washington.
Hey, John.
And I would like to give you a little bit of a scenario here and then ask the opinion of the gentleman. And it's actually a two-part thing. I believe that under the mind control issue, that the Illuminati believe that they are losing control. And therefore, they are going to instigate very soon a war with Israel to get rid of Israel, to get rid of the Muslim world, the radicals, to deal a head blow to the USA, because we're not going to point blankly incorporate or allow ourselves to be incorporated into this world order. And so we have to be brought down the ladder, and then they're going to raise us all back up again and with great strength in this land. And also, I believe that they're going to, the Antichrist will come upon the scene after this with his wonders and his power and his peace initiatives, and that they are going to hold Russia down to keep her from getting any stronger, and eventually they will go after the Orient, too, to get them to meld into everything. And now, once that they've achieved certain goals, I don't think they're going to need all the doormats that they consider us to be, and they will throw the majority of them into the fire and leave millions instead of billions. Now, that's how I see this playing out, and I've been shown several things over the past 3 months that make me to see it this way. Now, concerning the Antichrist, I wanted to ask if your guest has ever heard of Aviar Solana, because he meets a lot of the requirements, and if a person would go to YouTube and type up, sorry, you missed the rapture, you can see all about him and see what the requirements are. But this man is the head of the EU. He is a guy that's going around in the Middle East right now with peace initiatives. And he just has a great big agenda, and it shows that he is from the he's a Roman Catholic. He's a part of the he's a part of a group that wants one language for many tongues.
So you think he's the Antichrist, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you go there and look under this name, Aviar Solana, starts to spell that with a J, J-A-V-I-E-R.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
you go there and recorded. You go type up in YouTube, sorry, you missed the rapture, and you'll see all about him.
Stuart, what do you think of this individual?
Well, I know who he's referring to, and, you know, as I've mentioned before on the show, it's not just one group that's part of the Illuminati. There are 13 families who basically have the world divvied up under various control. And what we're seeing right now is a battle between the Windsors, the Rothschilds, and the Romanovs now for total domination of the Illuminati system. Russia must be looked at. I think your caller is correct in that perspective, because the Soviet Union is being reconstituted. I do have connections to what is called the former KGB, but, you know, I know that it still exists. And KGB people have told me that the Soviet Union is coming back. It won't be under the same format as it was previously, but it will be a totalitarian dictatorship. And that's what we're seeing happening now. Russia is now sending their bombers off our coasts again, which hasn't happened for so long. We're seeing Russia involvement in Iran and Syria and other countries, just like it was during the Cold War. So what we're seeing now is that in the end battle for global domination, there's a factor coming in where, you know, when you put a bunch of reptiles in a pit, they don't help each other get out. They fight to kill each other so there's one survivor. And that's what we're seeing with the Illuminati families. They're fighting now for control of the head, which is called the Pindar, right now controlled by the Rothschild family, but certainly the Windsors, who control the U.S. and Britain, and the Romanovs, who control Russia and the Soviet Union countries. These people are trying to gain control. And unfortunately, it's a two-sided issue here, because on one hand, their battles between each other provide cracks in the system that we could widen and win for ourselves. On the other hand, though, we get caught in the middle between all the battling and the wars and the violence that they create. So we have to be very careful in the choices that we make, and we have to be careful in what we're hearing in the media and how we apply it in our lives. And that's why I say, you know, despite what's going on out there, work within yourself, within your own mind. Because, yes, the agenda for this planet is not a pleasant one. Something will be played out. I agree that the Illuminati are afraid. I think there's other factors involved that go beyond this planet. But, yes, they're fearful about something. They're speeding up the agenda. They're making mistakes, and they're battling each other. And we can use that battle for our own selves in order to gain control of our own minds.
Okay, we're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to continue with final phone calls with our special guest tonight, Stuart Swartlow on Coast to Coast AM. Stuart, at what point did you begin to realize that this was happening at a very rapid clip?
Well, of course, I knew something was going on from childhood. You know, my father was involved in the U.S. military when I was very young. And, of course, you know about my family history. So I was always politically involved, and I always knew what the agenda was for the Earth. The problem was, of course, getting the right words to tell people about it. But I think it was basically towards the end of the Montauk Project, which, again, ended in 1983. That's when it was like being unplugged, when that situation ended. It was like being disconnected from the source of life, if you will, because I was so used to being heavily programmed and doing everything that I was told to do. And then when it suddenly ended, it was like I was thrust out into the world and had no idea how to deal with it. So I really had to train myself and teach myself how to function. And, of course, there were government people who tried to deprogram me, but they did it in such a way that left me very weak physically and emotionally, because they just tried to drain everything out of me under the assumption that I was not going to survive and they needed whatever information was in me. So it was then I realized how people are used and abused by the control system. And it really angered me, and especially looking at my children and seeing how they were also suffering sometimes at night and having nightmares and things come to them in the middle of the night, which they told me about, which I, by the way, never discussed with them, so that they never heard that from me. That came from them. And they, you know, had a very sheltered life at the time. They didn't know what was going on in the outside world. So the only way they could have known about it was through personal experience. And that angered me, knowing that what I went through and then my children were going through, how dare these people do that to not only me but anybody. So I became very adamant about going out into the world and telling people about it. Of course, you know, I get a lot of rotten apples and tomatoes thrown at me by people who don't want to hear about those things. But my feeling is, at least I'm going to say what I know. It's not my job to convince anybody of anything. I simply state what I know, and the rest of the world can accept or reject as they see fit. However, I do see what's going on. I know what's going on, and time is getting very critical. We're reaching a point now where there's not much time to play around and decide whether you believe it or not, because here it is. It's happening right in front of us. So I would urge all listeners and readers of my site and my books to really do their own work. Despite what I say, you know, don't listen to me if you don't want to. Do your own work. Do your own research. Find out for yourself, and you will see what's going on out there, and you will be fascinated by what's going on in your own mind.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Thanks for holding so long.
Yes, sir. No problem. Good evening.
Sure.
In the late 70s, early 80s, there was an article in Omni magazine about an ELF or ULF radio station in Russia transmitting a blank carrier beam. There was no modulation, nothing piggybacked on it. It was going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It had gotten to the point, according to the article, that any of the major legislative bodies in Europe, and the article mentioned Sweden and Germany, before the members took a vote on any critical issue, they turned on a personal jammer that was tuned to block this frequency. Now, ELF and ULF, they go through the Earth, so everybody on Earth was being, whether they knew it or not, was hearing this continuous continuous tone, and it never changed. It was the same thing over and over. My question is, would that be part of a programming thing? Because anything could be piggybacked onto it, a trigger at any time. And are you familiar with that, Mr. Stewart? And is that still going on? Do you know? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, caller. And actually, you're 100% correct. That program in the Soviet Union back in those days, the time period that you mentioned, it's a very strange name, but they called it Project Vodka. And the reason they called it that was because it altered the mental capacity of the people who were bombarded by it. And as you know, it's a very well-known fact that the Soviets used to bombard the American embassy with microwave to distort the minds and computer systems there. So, yes, absolutely, you are correct. This did occur. It still occurs, except that now the transmissions are by satellite. You know, President Reagan years ago was very proud to announce that the entire Earth was ringed by satellites so that nowhere on the Earth would be remote from anywhere else. But what he failed to say was that those satellites were there to watch everyone and transmit the same kind of signal to the population. It wasn't only the Soviets that did it. Of course, the Americans did it. The British had their own version out of Tavistock Institute in London. Ours came out of the NSA in Fort Detrick, Maryland. These are common background standard events. The Earth is still bombarded. As I mentioned earlier, the government stated the North and South Poles are bombarded with the ELF and microwave that they don't know where it's coming from. Well, it's coming from them. They're doing it. They're altering the morphogenetic grid of the Earth. They're creating weather changes. They're creating geological upheavals as a way of creating fear so that they can control the population. You know, people in the government, in the Congress and Senate, they know about this. This is not a secret anymore. The secret government is now the public government. The total control system now, before George Bush came to Washington, while he was in his motorcade in Texas on his way to Washington, he said, "The world would be a better place if I was the dictator." That's a direct quote from him. So, you know, one of the callers earlier mentioned about an Antichrist. My opinion is he's the Antichrist. You know, there's more than one. There's whoever is the leader of a large group of nations, that's right now an Antichrist because they have a very negative agenda for the population.
West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. I was listening to this all night. There's one thing that I know is not correct on this. I don't understand why you would think you could get the blood of Jesus Christ off the Shroud of Turin, because it's been independently tested many times by many independent laboratories. There were two complete occasions separated where the Vatican allowed it to be tested. These results are widely available, and the Shroud isn't old enough, first of all, to have been the burial cloth of Jesus. There's no Jesus blood on it.
I understand that, caller, but that your information is a bit dated. Just within the last year or two, the Israelis themselves at Hebrew University tested the shroud and said that they found pollen samples within the shroud that were at least 2,000 year old and came from that area of the Middle East, and basically re-authenticated the veracity of the shroud. So, in fact, it's been revalidated and is now considered to be as old as they claimed originally.
And the blood, whatever that is hardened, but it still, I guess, could be used, could it not?
Yes. In fact, they've done this before. They've taken woolly mammoth DNA that's been frozen for 10, 20,000 years and reconstituted it. So this is not a problem technologically. They can take even what is considered to be dead cells and reconstitute it and get the genetic material and regenerate it using other by implanting it in a living egg and then making it cloned.
But are you saying they can clone Jesus?
Well, basically correct. They can clone anybody, anything. And yes, they have done this, and I write about that in my Blue Blood book.
All right, let's go to first time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Jack.
Hi, Jack. Thank you, sir.
Corpus Christi, Texas, first-time caller. A lot of my questions have been answered already. Like, I was going to ask about the second coming of Christ. Is he saying that they're going to clone Jesus Christ as he coming back? as an agent of the government, or
actually,
on there,
yes, that's correct. I wrote about that in my Blue Blood book, where that was part of the stage, the Second Coming, where they present this individual who claims to be Jesus Christ. They test his genetics. It matches the Shroud of Turin, and therefore, I mean, how can you question that when you have a person's genetics match the blood on the Shroud of Turin identically? And yes, he is a programmed person. Of course, it isn't the real Christ figure. It's a clone manufactured one. But people will believe it because of the genetic material.
Okay. You've talked a lot about, I've listened to a couple other callers, about reptilians and aliens. For me, that's a little far-fetched. I was going to ask you, do you believe in Christ?
I believe in a Christ consciousness. As far as the individual, the human being, I believe that, yes, such a person did exist, but not in the way that the Bible presents it. I believe it was a different scenario. I believe in God mind. I think all of creation is God mind, and we are all parts of that, and therefore we can never be disconnected from it. And that is why programming cannot last forever, because they cannot program God mind. They can only make you feel or think that you're disconnected from it, when in fact you never can be. And that is what we work on through the deprogramming, to get to the core of your true personality connected to the Oversoul and God mind, so that you find out who and what you really are and gain control of self.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Glenn in San Bernardino, California.
Yeah, Glenn.
I was wondering what you thought about the HARP system. You were talking about something like radio waves and doing some mind control and things like that.
Stuart, you're familiar with HARP up there in Alaska?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, one of my clients is a helicopter pilot, military helicopter pilot, who flew the route in Alaska over the HARP area and described it very in detail to me. You know that HARP is not only in Alaska. There is a sister HARP project in the northern reaches of Norway, and also there are 11 other sub-facilities around the world that are connected to it. HARP has many functions, not only weather control, but it also generates at a frequency that can alter genetic sequences in humanity and in other creatures. So that is one of the things that they're doing. They're also creating an electrical barrier in the ionosphere, basically as a shield against whatever may be out there coming to this planet. That is also what is creating some of the heavier storms and electrical thunderstorms that we're seeing recently. It has nothing to do with global warming. It has to do with the HARP project and related systems. So, yes, this does exist, and it is very, very intense on the planet.
So we need to shut down the HARP system if it's doing that kind of damage. I mean, 3 gigawatts of radiated power is pretty intense.
That's correct.
Scary.
That's correct. But, of course, you know, it's not an easy task to just shut that down because, first of all, government doesn't admit that it exists even.
Kind of like the aliens.
Correct. You know, it's really brilliant what they have devised, you know, to create something and then say it doesn't. You know, NSA used to stand for no such agency until finally the government admitted in the late 90s that, yes, it really does exist. So little by little, they're releasing to the public all these secret facilities that exist. You know, during 9/11, when Bush was being sequestered and kept safe, they announced on CNN he was taken to an underground city in West Virginia. I had been talking about that city for years, and people thought I was insane, and here it is on CNN. See? And then they even mention that there's underground entrances from other states that lead to it. And aren't we fortunate that we have a safe government underground that could control things in case Washington is destroyed?
Okay, let's take a few more calls, and then that is it. West of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, my question is, who or how do the families find protection from this mass mind manipulation.
You're referring to the 13 Illuminati?
Yeah. Yeah, or whoever's perpetrating this, how do they stay free from it?
Well, that's a good question, and the answer is they are not free from it. In fact, programming is a way of life for them. It ensures that their culture and civilization stays stable and does not deviate from their agenda. They do program themselves and their own children. Of course, the programming they receive is different than the programming they give to the general population. Their programming is to have an elite group of people that can control the masses, and they have not a doubt in their minds that they're doing the right things for themselves and the world.
How wealthy are these people, Stuart, these families?
Well, they control all the resources of the earth, so quite wealthy.
You mean combined they do?
Yes, I mean, Queen Elizabeth is one of the wealthiest women on the earth. You look at the Rothschilds, look at the Carnegies, look at the Kennedys, look at all these the people that control the planet. There's no way of even measuring the wealth. It's so vast.
Good point. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I just have a quick comment to make, and I'll listen off the air, but it's in reference to the caller was talking about some of his relatives came back from the war, and they weren't the same, and were they programmed, et cetera, et cetera. I'm from the Vietnam era, although I did not serve. I got a high number in the draft lottery, and I did not enlist. My father, who's 87 years old, was in World War II, and I remember very distinctly when I was a kid, even though I was very much into playing Army and all that kind of stuff. Only until very recently, my father never, ever talked about things that he saw in the war. He was in an intelligence service that worked in conjunction with the French underground, and then after the war, he was involved in the OSS in the Bremen Enclave in Germany. And only very recently, and I'm 55 years old, and I didn't know any of the stuff that he talked about when we sat and talked about it for a while. And my point is that someone cannot understand, even though I've talked to many people of my contemporaries that were in Vietnam and described to me different things that they saw and did that go way beyond any kind of fiction or movies that you can imagine, and things that my father described that he was witness to. You cannot witness those type of events and be party to those type of events and be the same happy-go-lucky, oh, I'm just going to go out and have a few beers with the guys, you know, when you come back. You are different because you have seen the horrors of war firsthand, and it has to change a person.
Oh, there's no question about it. Stuart, we are out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program. Good luck with all your research, my friend.
Thank you very much, George. You're a wonderful host, and I appreciate you very much. And I would invite all of you to please come to www.expansions.com and see what we have to offer.
You've got it. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ian Punnett, Ross Mitchell, and Art Bell. I'm George. By the way, Art will be on our next program. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.